Today on Real Life Radio.
The time frame between crazy is getting tighter, shorter, more of it. And Jesus warned, the Bible warns, that as we approach into the last days before he comes, we'll not know, but concerning the times and the seasons, we'll have a good idea. Things are strange.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message called The End, Part 2. The end of the world as we know it cannot be avoided, but you can be prepared for it. Peter has only a little time left before he himself will be crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ, so his final warning is to prepare us about the danger of only knowing who Jesus is as opposed to having a relationship with him. You see, we need to ask ourselves what it means to be a last days Christian, to stir ourselves up and live as those who look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus is coming again soon, so we still have a mission and a purpose here on earth, to keep working and growing in grace and to share with others what Christ means to us and how he's changed our lives. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack reminds us that as Christ followers, we are to be thankful that we will miss the coming judgment. With all that's going on in this world today, the lawlessness, the crime, and turmoil, God will not put up with it much longer. Still, in his mercy, God looks on us and says, "Not yet." But how long will he wait? Well, no one knows. And now in his message called The End, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But back to 1 Thessalonians 5, he goes on to say in verse 2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, for when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And just like a pregnant woman, they shall not escape." If you're pregnant, you're not going to escape it. It's going to happen. And listen, he's warning, because listen, the pregnant woman statement, Jesus made this statement, Paul makes the statement. When a woman, look, you can, right now, a woman can be standing in front of you and she could have just had, well, technically, known to God only, she could have been impregnated an hour ago. She doesn't know it yet. Then she has thoughts in her mind and she's curious, so she winds up taking a test and she's pregnant. How does she feel? At this moment, maybe no changes. But for 9 months, her body literally goes into a transformation state where she becomes not only a factory, she becomes a pharmaceutical laboratory. Her body produces stuff. It's amazing what's going on. She becomes a blood factory. She's almost doubling her blood weight. She's going through all of this stuff and still okay. She's out there. And you know how you feel? I feel fine. Well, you look like you're hurt. Why? Because she's pregnant and signs are showing concerning the day and the hour, nobody knows, but concerning the times and the seasons, I mean, there it is. And you see time going like this, and then all of a sudden, you know, like when we had our first child, we came home from church. I say we had our first child. I had very little to do with it. We laid down, it was a Thursday night, we laid down, went to bed, and it was kind of maybe like 11-ish, I don't know, kind of, it was late, and we lay down, and then Lisa wets the bed. The water breaks. What is this? It's happening. How do you feel? I'm fine. So I don't know why, but I remember laying in bed and seeing her in our apartment, and she's taking a shower. I get that. I get it. You want to go and take a shower after that? And she's curling her hair, putting her makeup on. What are we doing? Well, we're going to go to the hospital soon. How do you feel? I'm fine. But you know, I'm starting to feel this thing. She gets all dolled up because she's going to look good. She always looked good, but she's going to look good having a baby. And everything is, I feel this now. You know what happened? We knew. It's time to go. Why? Because of the frequency. Things were going crazy quicker. Sound familiar? Things are going crazy quicker. The time frame between crazy is getting tighter, shorter, more of it. And Jesus warned, the Bible warns, that as we approach into the last days before he comes, we'll not know, but concerning the times and the seasons, we'll have a good idea. Things are strange. And Paul talks about that. And he says that they shall not escape. Notice, they do not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness so that this day should overtake you, what? As a thief. Don't ever be defined as someone who is unaware. It's superimposed upon our reality as believers. Secondly, verse 10, we learn that the end is an observable finality. It's actually going to happen. It's going to transpire. He says, for which the heavens will pass away. It's a scientific term revealed by the Holy Spirit. The word is amazing because when it says the heavens will pass away, the word used, which even that is spectacular. It's not only that the heavens will be rolled up or done away. What is there will be taken away. It's sequential. Watch this, everybody. Listen up. Especially, again, any of you who are atheists or skeptics, listen to what 2,000-year-old Greek language says. Peter, the fisherman, is announcing that when the end comes to the physical universe, it is going to vanish away, and the word is still miraculous in those days. Like we would say the blinds, when you snap the blinds and they roll up into the roll. That's the word that he uses. We'll see this in a moment graphically. He's saying that's how it's all going to happen. He's talking about the end of the age. And he says it's going to happen with a great noise. What happens to what with the great noise? Notice it's the word heavens, not heaven. It means from sea level to all physical space. Celestial, interstellar, all physical space. Beyond Pluto to the end, wherever that may be, known to God. It's all going to shift. It's all going to change. And the word great noise is one word in Greek language, and Peter uses it. It's awesome. The word, it's so cool because it's almost impossible in English to describe. The best we can do, I'm not kidding, the best we can do when you read books on this stuff, and that's what I did this week, is I read books on this stuff, and you come down to one word. It means swoosh. All that work for that. Say, Peter, what are you talking about? Yeah, when it happens, it's going to be a swoosh. It all comes to an end with a swoosh. The word means starting at one end of your hearing to the other, very fast. It's been translated as a bullet or arrow flying from one side near you to the other side. Just, right? Isn't it weird? Think about it. George Washington said in the heat of battle, you know, he sat upright in his saddle. Did you know that? British soldiers and American soldiers all agree, in the middle of battle, Washington was out there and he never ducked. He never stooped. He was always perfectly, like it's not going to happen. He's invincible. And yet his coat got shot 5 times and the bullet never made it to his skin. And Washington said, there's something harmonious and beautiful regarding the sound of musket fire passing over your head. Right on. That's awesome, George. That's why he's the father of our country, and I'm not. Shush! Peter said it's going to happen like that. It's going to be like rolling up a blind. It's going to be like the shooting of an arrow. And he says that the elements are going to melt. Elements. The atomic particles. Listen to this. The word means elementary. It's where we get the word elementary from. It means this. You tell me how Peter knew this. It means to disconnect one row at a time in sequence or in chains. That's what the word means. Disconnect in sequence, one after another in a row, and when it's done, think of like a sweater coming unraveled. That's a good picture. Then the next one comes apart, and that's until all things are gone. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the one who holds the universes together. He is the atomic glue. Remember that? We studied that a couple weeks ago. So when you think about this, the miracle is now. Everything's held together. Look at you. You're being held together. This is being held together. How? By the command of God, the Bible says. And another miracle's going to happen, which is adverse, if you think about it. He miraculously is holding all the physical universe together right now. And then he's not going to. And when he stops doing it, the chains disconnect. And if you've had basic physics, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The atoms begin to fly apart. Because right now we do not know what holds atoms together. You do. You know his name even. But the scientific world, they probably know. They're just not saying. Because then they'd have to go to a worship service if they did. It's very remarkable. But can you imagine the great undoing of all things? It's hard for us to fathom. You need to just kind of meditate on that for a moment. You say, Jack, well, why do I need to know this? Well, if you're a believer, you need to be thankful that you're going to miss this. Okay, you think California and Oregon burning down's bad? It's nothing compared to what God's going to do, because he's going to clean this place up his way. We'll see that more in a moment. Because in verse 10, it continues that we know this, if we're honest, that the end is coming. Because the end is a needed judgment. Now, nobody wants to talk about judgment unless they're in charge of it. Let's be honest. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You see, that's not a happy verse. I understand it's not a happy verse, but it's true. And it depends, you know. It could be happy to you, maybe. Have you experienced horrific injustice in your life? Have you suffered great pain and you wonder, you look around this world and you say, where's the justice in this world? The lunatic that shot those two police officers in the face last night, what if they never catch him? Where's the justice in that? On and on it goes. Somebody, God forbid, kidnaps your child and sells them on the sex slave markets of the world. And you never know. I tell you what, in my mind, that's the worst. If my kid got ran over by a train, I could deal with it. I've got to deal with it. If my kid has been kidnapped and I live the next 5 minutes or 5 years or 5 decades, to me, that's a living hell, not knowing. Right? Where's the justice? A lot of people today say, I don't believe in God because this happened in my life and there's no justice. How can you tell me that he's a God of love when no one's been brought to accountability on what happened to me or my kids or my husband or my wife? I understand that. I'm telling you right now, God says, I'm going to deal with it. The day of justice is coming. And when I do it, you'll be satisfied. Listen, he will satisfy the cry of justice and judgment. The judgment is coming. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says judgment's coming. And we are strange people as humans because we want justice and we want judgment as long as it's not on us. Somebody wrongs us and we're on it. I'm calling the cops. I'm calling my attorney. Why? Because either you are in the right or you think you're in the right. People today are running around this world and these streets, burning stuff down, throwing bricks through windows, saying, we want justice. Well, if you want justice, you're sure going around in an idiotic way. Lawlessness is insanity. But we want justice. Are you sure? What are you talking about? You really want justice? Listen, if God were to say right now today, you want justice? World, you want justice? I wonder if God were to ask it, we'd pipe down a little bit. Can you imagine? Do you want justice? It's like, I don't know. We better think this one over. Because if justice is put on you, then maybe it's also going to come on me. Right? With all that's going on in the world, I can almost hear Jesus say, whoever's without sin, let him cast the first stone. No, the day of justice is coming, but here's the thing. It's not that one person offended the other person or one group offended the other group. It's that we have offended God. Last week, we looked at Luke chapter 4, and we read that famous passage of scripture that introduced this portion of 2 Peter. Remember, Jesus goes to the synagogue after being tempted in the wilderness and commissioned for ministry. Jesus comes out of the Judean wilderness. He heads up north 90 miles to Galilee, and he heads a little bit left to the town of his upbringing, Nazareth. And he enters into the synagogue in Nazareth, and remember the scripture, Luke 4, he opens to the daily reading on that Sabbath morning of where the prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah would bring in these characteristics, that he would set at liberty those who are bound, he'd open up the eyes of the blind, that he would heal the lame, that he would set the captives free, and that he would announce or preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And do you remember what happened, everybody? Were you here last week? Anyone? A comma. There's a comma, and everything stopped, because the next verse is, and the day of God's vengeance upon, right? Jesus stops at a comma, hands the scroll back to the attendant, and he says to them in Luke 4, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And the Bible says that all eyes were fixed upon him. And they saw with what gracious words he spoke and what power was upon him. And he stopped at that comma. God's gracious words. God's gracious words go out today. But there's a day coming of judgment. And he's going to bring it. And that judgment day will be a terrible day. The Bible teaches us over and over again. This is crazy, right? Listen to this. You can see it in your mind's eye, but oftentimes a prophet has asked God, why are you not doing something to them? Why are you not destroying them? You've had those questions before. We've had those questions. And God answers sometimes this way, and he says to them, not yet. The sins of the Amorites, for example, are not yet full. Isn't that weird? He says this numerous times in scriptures. When people say, well, God, what are you going to do? Their sin is not yet full. It's almost like there's a scale. Like a flask or a container. And God looks at a life, maybe the angels are asking, God, how long are you going to allow them to live like that? That guy cussing your name, cheating on his wife. She's cheated on her husband. They beat the kid. This person, that thing. This guy keeps robbing that company. Who knows what the angels are all over them. They're watching everything. They're not even God, but the angels are following us everywhere. The Bible says, look, the scriptures say that there's angels. Whenever the word of God's going out, there's angels that sit and they listen. They're here now. Can't see them, right? But think about it. They are dead serious. You never see them joking around. They're dead serious. But they traffic. The Bible says that they traffic with every one of the heirs of salvation. You know, you remember the saying about guardian angels? You see, where did that come from? It came from the book of Matthew and the book of Hebrews. There's at least one angel assigned to your life, and they're not allowed to leave you. But they also have to see everything you do. But how many angels are looking at someone's life? Imagine the angels that were watching Adolf Hitler's life. And they might say, God, when are you going to do something about this? You know, kind of maybe like Jonah. Fry him, God. Their sins are not full yet. So what happens when you reach your moment? Known only to God, by the way, in your life. If you're not a Christian, listen, you should be terrified right now. I'm serious. I'm glad you're here, but you should be terrified. And I mean, I'm not saying that to be funny. You're living around, you're doing your thing. God's given you mobility, breath, brain, the ability to think, make money, live, whatever talents, gifts you have. You're doing all this stuff, and you're living your life as it were. You're sticking your finger in God's eye, and some angel's probably saying, God, how long are you going to put up with that? And God might say, you know what? Regarding Rick, it's not full yet. At his rate, maybe a few more weeks. And then it's done. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he who is often rebuked will harden his heart and he will be taken away, and that without remedy. The end is coming. God has promised it, and his judgment is perfect. Second point is in verse 11. We'll probably, no doubt, end in verse 11 today, but the end is also this, that you and I know, we know the hope that we have. The hope. In verse 11, he says, therefore, I circle the word therefore. This is like, imagine jumping on a hot day into a refreshing pool. Circle the word therefore. That's a, it's like a pool. Remember J. Vernon McGee, the old man? He says, whenever you come to a verse like this, and it says therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. And he's right. He's exactly right. This is what it's there for. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Hey, if all this is going to burn up, how are we going to invest our lives? Peter's speaking to the believer. It's all going to burn. Did you buy a new car this week? It's going to burn. Oh, Pastor, no, we didn't get a new car. We got a new house. Going to burn. Got a new shirt? Going to burn. It's actually a great way to live if you think about it. Older I get, it's funny, because Lisa, I don't know if Lisa goes for this or not, but the older I get, it's like, I mean, look, it's Sunday. I get dressed up for you. This is it. Comb my hair. It's Sunday. But listen, I'm in my 60s. I'm thinking, you know what? I've already done all that stuff. It's all going to burn. Are you gonna comb your hair before? No, it's all going to burn. You're going to change your shoes, right? I bought some of these goofy flip-floppy things. They're different. They're not Birkenstock, but they're somethings. I don't know what they are. And I wore them in the baptism because I thought they would be destroyed in the water yesterday. They didn't. They survived. She goes, you're not wearing those, are you? Yeah, I don't care. You know, you get older, you just don't care. It's fantastic. It's not, I'm telling you, it's great. Why? It's all going to burn. And so here's the thing. In light of all of that, how am I going to live my life on a daily basis? What do I do? Well, depends, frankly, listen, blunt. It depends on how smart I am. Meaning this, depends if I believe God or not.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The End, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. The End, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack is going to be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold, He Comes. Special guests, Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. Now, the streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers for a $5 purchase. By the way, also Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations are available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. We also have a special opportunity available for churches that would like to host this conference through a live simulcast event with their congregations to watch the conference together. Now, if your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference, or to find a church in your area hosting the event, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.